It's my pleasure to welcome each of you to the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sabbath morning. I'm sure that you joined me in those earnest prayers last night when that wind was blowing so hard. I'm sure that there were a lot of prayers offered in protection of your household, for your friends, your neighbors. And now as we unite this morning in that service and that worship to our God, I hope that we remember those answered prayers. Thank you, Vida, for sharing your talent with us this morning. I'd like to share with you that promise that I believe that each of us as members of this church must truly remember. In fact, I would suggest that we would learn, especially these two verses, three verses actually, in Moroni, the 10th chapter. I'm sure you're very familiar with that. And if you're not, I would ask that you might commend it to your memory. For this is a promise of the truthfulness of this Book of Mormon. Moroni 10. I'm going to start with the third verse. Behold, I would exhort you that when you shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam even down until the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart and with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever thing is good, is just and true, wherefore nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. Shall we continue now in our worship with the singing of hymn 313, Look for the Beautiful.
Our loving Father in heaven, we come now before you, Father, in humble reverence to the majesty and the beauty of your name and to the power of your redeeming love. We come, Father, with grateful hearts, thankful for the protection that you have granted us from the storms, both the storms by which you have once again pruned the trees of your vineyard, and the storms of our daily lives. We thank you, Father, for this beautiful day that you have loved us into. We come now, Father, seeking your blessing upon this service. We pray that you would bless us with an abundance of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that you would bless our speaker, Mike, that you would author those things that he would bring to us today. We pray, Father, that we would receive by that same Spirit all that we need to make our lives to shine more brightly, that we might be a beacon, Father, unto the world which so desperately needs to hear the fullness of this gospel. We pray, Father, that you would share with us this day your will for us, your will for your church. We pray that you would give us the strength, Father, to cause that your will would be done here upon this earth. And we ask this in the precious and lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we think about our offerings that we make, most of the time we think of financial things. And of course, those are needed for us to do the basic of the basics for the branch. Our offerings go much further than monetary, though. It was brought to my mind this week as I thought about the Sabbath and how we prepare and how we spend it. I was talking with a friend and the comment was made, I don't mow grass on the Sunday because that's work. I thought, okay, that makes sense. But as I later thought about it, how many of us watch TV on Sunday? The preparation of our souls and our minds is much more important, I think, than if we walk through our pastures. Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we pray that all of our offerings that we bring to you, both spiritually and monetarily, temporarily, that they'll be acceptable to you, that you can use for the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Brother Bill read from the words of Moroni. And as I prepared for this sermon, I too was drawn to our brother Moroni. What powerful words he has given us. Have you taken that challenge to ask God with real intent if these things are true? I know that I have, at a time when I really needed to know. I was at that point. I just needed to know. And I prayed that prayer, and I most certainly received an answer to the truth of these things that have been preserved. I had the privilege of preaching up in Woodbine last Sunday, and my closing scripture, I found out as I prepared for this sermon, was this week's theme. And so I'd like to pick up where we left off. These are the words of Moroni. Again in chapter 10, beginning with verse 27. And again, I would exhort you that you would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift, and touch not the evil gift nor the unclean thing. And awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion. And strengthen thy stakes, and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded. That the covenants of the Eternal Father which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. And now I bid unto all farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and dead. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vida, for sharing that with us. I really appreciate that. I don't know how many times I've recently read that passage of Scripture. And it amazes me how every time I read it, I learn something new. It's interesting how certain phrases or words just seem to leap off the page. And in preparing this week, that phrase that leaped off the page for me was this: His grace is sufficient for you. If I could summarize my whole sermon, it would simply be that. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. What more do we need? Do you have faith in that phrase? His grace is sufficient. I would appreciate your prayers. We, like some of you, didn't have any power last night or this morning. And it's my custom or my practice that I print my notes off before I leave for church. My printer wasn't available. So I'm trusting. That His grace is sufficient for me. We don't need to rely on ourselves if we can rely on our God. So my mind was taken to learn more about Moroni. Very interesting man. You know, he underwent a lot of trials, most of which we're not even aware of. What we do know is that his father, Mormon, entrusted him to finish the work. Of preserving these words for you and me. But not only for us, but for his brothers, the Lamanites. What we also know is that Moroni witnessed the destruction of his people, the Nephites, by those very brothers that he loved, the Lamanites. Because the Nephites had fallen into transgression, they had trouble with keeping the commandments, and their faith did certainly waver. This great final battle took place at a hill called Hill Cumorah, where Mormon's library was and is, where these records are safely kept. I've been to a hill in Mexico called Hill Rabon, Cerro Rabon. And we don't know if that's the Hill Cumorah. But when I think of Hill Cumorah, that's what I have in my mind of that place. And it's interesting. I told you that I prayed that prayer that Moroni challenged us with when I was in college. And that prayer wasn't answered immediately, but shortly after, I had the privilege of traveling with some students to this place. And there at that place is where I received my testimony that these things are true. And I know that these things have been preserved by the power of the Almighty God. They were not preserved by man. They are not cunningly devised fables. This great battle between the Nephites and the Lamanites was horrific. It said that around 230,000 Nephites lost their life at that battle. 230,000. I had to kind of put that into perspective. The city of Independence has about 117,000 people. So almost twice of the city of Independence. I'm not real sure how long that battle lasted, but I gather it wasn't too long. Moroni witnessed the destruction of his loved ones on both sides of the fight. And it said that his life was preserved along with his father's Mormon. And there were 24 individuals that remained with them at that time. But it wasn't long after that that he witnessed his father, Mormon, lose his life to the Lamanites. along with these other individuals that were hunted down. You know, the prophets warned the people that if they would not believe and keep the faith in Christ, that they would be swept off. And He gives us the same warning today through His Word, that we must keep our faith in the Son of Jesus Christ. Moroni says, his father also was killed. He says, I even remain alone to write the sad tale of the destruction of my people. But behold, they are gone. And I fulfill the commandment of my father. And whether they will slay me, I know not. Therefore will I write and hide up the records in the earth. And whither I go, it mattereth not. See, the Lord's grace was sufficient for Moroni. Can you imagine the turmoil that he had? And he was brought to the place of humility. And he says, it mattereth not what happens to him, because he knew the Lord's grace was sufficient. Behold, my father hath made this record, and he hath written the intent thereof. And behold, I would write it also, if I had room upon the plates, but I have not. And ore, I have none, for I am alone. My father hath been slain in battle, and all my kinsfolks. And I have not friends, nor whither to go. And how long the Lord will suffer that I may live, I know not. I want to thank Moroni for enduring the hardship and following through with what he was entrusted with. He had a great faith. He actually spoke quite a lot about faith. These are the words recorded by Moroni, but they are the words of the prophet Ether, found in Ether chapter 5. Wherefore, this is verse 4, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not. How strong is our faith? Do we have a surety of the promises that we've been given? When the storms are surrounding us, do we have a peace? This says, no matter what, the Lord's grace is sufficient. Do you have that anchor to your soul? And now I, Moroni, would speak, this is the words of Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is the things which are hoped for and not seen. It's not the things that we have and that we can see, but the things that we have not seen that we hope for. Wherefore, dispute not because you see not. For ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. After the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after he had risen from the dead. And these are the fathers, the forefathers of Moroni. Those were that were in the new world, that witnessed their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They had been prophesied of in their land. And they saw him because they have been tried and they had faith. And he showed not himself unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he showed himself not unto the world. But because of the faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world, and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for these things. Which have not been seen. I try to put myself in the shoes of those that were prophesied to of this Christ that should come that had not come yet. Would I have believed? And in our day and time, something that we've been prophesied to is Zion. We have not seen it. Do we believe it? I believe we do. Wherefore ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. But in the gift of his Son, the greatest gift of all gifts, hath God prepared a more excellent way. It was speaking of the law of Moses, a more excellent way. And it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracle among them. Wherefore he showed not himself until after their faith. Verse 18, and neither at any time hath any wrought miracles until after their faith. Wherefore they first believed in the Son of God. It wasn't too long ago in a prayer service that we talked about this subject. And it came to me that I'm not aware of any miracles. I'm not aware of any miracles that weren't preceded by a trial. You think about that when you find yourself in a trial. Verse 22, and it is by faith that my fathers have obtained the promise that these things that we are reading right now, that these things should come unto their brethren through the Gentiles. Therefore the Lord hath commanded me, yea, even Jesus Christ. And I said unto him, Lord, the Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing. For Lord, thou hast made us mighty in word by faith, but thou hast not made us mighty in writing. I find it fascinating of the inadequacies that Moroni felt in the work in which he was entrusted with. But doesn't that prove the power of God? He was really concerned about the way that those who would read these words would read them. He was concerned that they would be mocked. Well, for many they are. But for those that have faith, you know of their surety. Behold, thou hast not made us mighty in writing, this is verse 25, like unto the brother of Jared. See, he's comparing himself like we do. Oh, if I could write like the brother of Jared. For thou madest him that the things which he wrote were mighty, even as thou art, unto the overpowering of man to read them. Thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weakness and stumble because of the placing of our words. And I fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words. Do we have fears? You better believe it. But that's just a lack of faith, isn't it? We should not fear, but trust. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, Then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Someone else that we read their words in the New Testament had those same feelings of inadequacy. Brother Paul, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For the thing I besought the Lord, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Lord, take this thorn from my side, this weakness. It's getting me down. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Continue in the words of Moroni. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. And I, Moroni, having heard these words, was comforted. He was comforted and said, O Lord, thy righteous will be done. For I know that thou workest unto the children of men according to their faith. For the brother Jared said unto the mountain Zaron, remove, and it was removed. And if he had not faith, it would not have moved. Wherefore thou workest after men have faith. For after they had faith and did speak in thy name, thou didst show thyself unto them in great power. Does this give you comfort? It does me. I'm aware of my weaknesses. Some of them I'm not aware of. And I'm sure that the Lord will bring those to my attention at the perfect timing when I need humbled. Does this give you peace that passeth all understanding? There were two brothers that gave their life for the gospel. 173 years ago, last month, Brother Joseph Jr. Smith and his brother Hiram and it is said that Hiram read a passage of scripture Just days before, his life was taken. And that passage of Scripture came from this fifth chapter of Ether, and they are the words of Moroni, beginning with verse 36. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord that he would give unto the Gentiles grace, that they may have charity. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto me, if they have not charity, it mattereth not unto thee. Thou hast been faithful. Wherefore thy garments shall be made clean. And because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. And now I, Moroni, bid farewell unto the Gentiles, yea, and also unto my brethren, whom I love, until we shall meet before the judgment seat of Christ, where all men shall know that my garments are not spotted with your blood. The Lord's grace was sufficient for Moroni and for Hiram and for Brother Joseph. A quote is recorded in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 113, 4b. This was a quote of Brother Joseph Smith just days prior to his life being taken. History had not been written yet, but he knew his time was short. Brother Joseph says, I am going like a lamb to the slaughter. But I am calm as the summer's morning. What a peace he had. And what could have been a dreadful time for him. Maybe you have witnessed a calm summer morning recently. He says, I have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward all men. I shall die innocent. He had great faith. He was at peace. We should ask ourselves, are we at peace? Do you have any unfinished business with anyone? I encourage you to go to them and make amends. We do not know when the Lord is going to call us home. And I want for all of us to have this peace as calm as a summer morning. I tell you that His grace is sufficient for you and for me. Whatever comes our way, whatever trials we are experiencing, our Lord is aware. And there is nothing more that we need. It says in James, I believe it's James, that after all we can do, we are saved by grace. I think I have that wrong. I think it's in 2 Nephi. Actually, it's right here. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 11, verse 44. A little before that, believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved, after all we can do. In closing, I would like to read the words of the last verse of the hymn that was played by Vida. To invite the Spirit to be with us this morning. When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was full of sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life gets dark and dreary, don't forget to pray.
Our almighty and loving Heavenly Father, we have approached Thy throne today, invited that good Spirit that You send to be with us, and have set and been ministered to this day about one of the great promises that You have given to us, that Your grace is sufficient. We are so thankful for that great promise that we can lean upon. And so as we have come and heard Your gospel preached, we're thankful. We know that there are many in this room, and that each one has their own triumphs and trials to bear. And so it is, Lord, that I pray a blessing upon each one, that we may know when we need You the most, that You're there for us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that each one will be blessed this day as we go from this place, that we can remember in the trials of this week to rely upon that promise. And so we thank You, Lord, for this and many other things that You have blessed us with. And so I pray that You'll be with each of us until we meet again. We thank You for Your love and for Your greatest gift of all, of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray now. Amen.